Heavenly Father, we thank you again this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the joy of your presence, Lord, and the pleasure that we have in your presence. We give you glory, honor, praise, dominion, throughout all eternity shall be praised to you, Lord. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, thank you, Lord, for the joy of the Lord. No matter what this world rack up against us, Lord, we are in the world, we are not all the world. We are of the new creation in Christ Jesus. Lord, we thank you, Father. If there be any affliction, any kind of pain, we know, our affliction at this time, it's just for a moment, taking off your eyes and that, Lord, but that's coming, that glory to be revealed in us. And Lord, we have this treasure in hearten vessels, that the excellency of the glory might be of God and not of us. So we thank you for the Holy Ghost, the great comforter. We are even comforting us. All our tribulations, he comforted us. I will not leave you comfortless. And we are witnesses. He comforts us day and night. Lord, put us in remembrance of your word. And Lord, only God, show even things to come. Lord, we praise you and we worship you, Father. Father, in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. So by the grace of God this morning, this is part three. So we have two services on this subject, that unto Jesus Christ give all the prophets witness. It's like walking through the Bible, and that's what we are really doing. So yes, truly enough, to Christ give all the prophets witness. And remember, we begin from the book of Acts, chapter 10, where we take a text from, in Acts 10:43, where the Bible tells us that to him, meaning the Lord Jesus, give all the prophets witness, that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. And the Lord himself, the first sermon, because it's a sermon that he preached after the resurrection, and it's what we are going to read here in Luke 24:27. To call it a sermon, a message, at the 27th verse of Luke 24. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Our delight is that the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, they are all speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's only one theme, one subject, one great subject. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so again, do you know what? Nothing passed to the Lord. That sermon that he preached, he picture only two people in it. Praise the Lord. Only two people.
Wow.
Yeah? Only two people. Nothing matter to him. Whether there be a million people or two people, nothing matter to the Lord. Amen.
Yeah.
Great sermon. He went through all the old Bible to only to two people. Yeah, when he was here doing his ministry, multitudes followed him, right? And ministered to them. Two times. One time he fed the 5,000, not counting children. I think that 5,000 men, children, and something like that, Another time, 4,000, he fed them, and they had the word of God, right? So it doesn't have to be long. He's just looking at the heart. Praise God. So it's two people. And you know what? Now, you think we're by ourselves. Even, what he said here, in all the prophets, from Moses, he expanded unto them all the things concerning himself. And even the Jews who want to crucify him, hear the testimony. We have learned the Lord all these things. Here is what he said in John 7:15. Even the Jews who crucified him. Here is what they said by Jesus. And the Jews marveled, saying, how knew this man letter, having never learned? Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Which school did he go to? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
He is the Word. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh. And he dwelt among God. Praise the Lord. He is the Word. How do we go to no school? He gave all the prophets those words, amen?
Mm-hmm.
He is the God of the prophets, praise God.
Yeah.
All scripture about the inspiration of the Spirit, for the Holy Man of God, they speak as they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. So he is the Word of God. In fact, his name is the Word of God in another place. Praise, how many names? His name is the Word of God. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, talking about, we're not even by ourselves in this thing. Apostle Paul, in his persecution by the same Jews and so on, as what I say, I appeal unto Caesar. Unto Caesar you appeal, right? Unto Caesar will you go. When he got to Rome, do you know what he did? When he got to Rome, He picked this same sermon that we are preaching here for the, this is the third time, right? You think that, that's a lot of time, right? What did he do? 1 hour each. I think he did the third hour, right? But Paul preached the same sermon a whole day to the Jews when he got to Rome. Get to Book of Acts chapter 28. So don't think we're just, I know we are all, thank God for every soul in this place. You love the Lord and we thank God. That's God's predestination, we are what we are by the grace of God, amen?
Yeah.
Our boasting is in the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So talking about even the time we sit in fellowship, a whole day, Brother preach the same sermon that the Lord preached to these people that we are doing here in Acts 28 verse 23. And when they, meaning the Jews, had appointed him a day, when he was a prisoner, right? He couldn't even go anywhere, so he was in his lodging. And when they had appointed him a day, meaning the Jews, there came many to him into his lodging. He couldn't go anywhere to be in his lodging. To whom the same words that were used by the Lord Jesus, to whom he expanded and testified the kingdom of God. Now watch. Persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets. You know? What's he doing? From morning to evening. So this is the third hour. Look, I've been spending so much time, right? From morning to evening, Brother Paul took from the law of Moses, the Pentateuch, all the five books, and all the prophets. He expanded to these Jews all the things concerning the Lord Jesus from morning to evening. Praise the Lord. Upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, right? So this is a glorious thing we are doing here just to remind us that this whole Bible is all about the author, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, in the last 2 weeks, what did we do? So, in the last 2 weeks, we went through we went through the five books of Moses, showing in every place how that, he typed Christ or revealing Christ in all the five books of the Pentateuch. And we show many, many things in there. And where the Lord began at Moses, we began from there. And then and we did many of them. Today, last week, we completed all the five books, showing in every book how Christ was revealed. So today, we are going to finish up. I will try as quick as I can to go through all the prophets and see how they are all witnessing about Christ or talking about Christ and so on. So I move quickly, just really to enrich our mind, to really cling to the word of God. Everything you ever need is in this book. Amen? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Don't look nowhere else. So let's quickly go now. We went from Genesis, we went through to Deuteronomy, right? In the last 2 weeks. Today, we're going to go from Joshua throughout the prophets. I will quickly be at an account. So now, this morning, so we go from Joshua now. That is the next after Deuteronomy, right? So Joshua, what does he tell us? Joshua tells of the captain of the Lord's host, right? Who shall triumph over all his foes. That is in Joshua chapter 5, verse 13. Some of them I will read some scriptures out of there. One of the prophets, I just use one statement only that summarizes the whole book. Other ones I will read some things, about the Lord Jesus. Other will just be like a single sentence. I'll just pass on so we can finish all of them this morning by God's grace. So in Joshua chapter 5, verse 13, captain of the host, right? It's talking about the Lord Jesus, as we're going to see right now. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man, to call him a man, over against him with his sword drawn. In his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversary? And he said, nay. But watch now, as captain of the host of the Lord, I am now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship, and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. If you know the story of Moses, right? Isn't the same thing told Joshua and Moses when at the burning bush? Praise the Lord. The same command said, take off your shoes. Are you thinking that who is this man? The Bible did not leave us in darkness. Joshua bowed down and worshiped, right? And if it's just an ordinary angel, a true angel will not receive worship, amen, from any man. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And the book of Revelation, which I also have here, 22nd chapter, what I'm telling you right now, to show this is not a man, this is not an angel. This is the Lord himself, typified here. Revelation 22, verse 8, to show that an angel, a true angel, will not accept human worship. 22 of Revelation, verse 8. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then said he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So he was the Lord God himself that appeared to Joshua in there at Jericho and things like that. You know, so right there in the book of Joshua, we see the Lord himself, you know, as the captain of the host and so on like that, you know. Of course, talking about the captain in Hebrews 2, more about the captain, that the Lord is the captain, right? Hebrews 2:10. For he became him for whom are all things. Wonderful Jesus. For whom are all things, right? And by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Amen. Captain of our salvation, the captain of the Lord's host, right? That made Joshua. Joshua, it was revealed in Joshua, the Lord Jesus. You know, even his name, Joshua itself, it means even Christ in a way. Can't go into that right now. More in the book of Joshua, how Christ is being revealed and so on. Now, Rahab the harlot, don't know about him, and the scarlet cord, this test of Christ's sufferings and precious blood, that scarlet cell that you have, if you know the history of Rahab and things like that, you know, which will shelter and preserve his people in the coming day of his war. That is in Joshua 2, I won't go there, Joshua 2, 12, 20, that's about Rahab, you know how she was preserved and her household. The same principle holds, you know, even though she was the one that was a lawyer, but he petitioned the children of Israel, the spy, when you come, please stay in my father's house, and God did, you know, and let us story about Rahab, but we just keep on going and so on that, you know. Now, judges, we are going through the book, the prophets, how each of them, one way or the other, they reveal Christ, one way or the other, either by their life or by their encounter with God, revealing Christ. Judges, they tell us of the covenant angel whose name is Secret. That is in Judges chapter 13, verse 17. And Manoah, know the seed of Manoah and so on. The angel has appeared to Manoah's wife and said, I'm going to have a son and things like that, you know, while Manoah wasn't even there. Then she ran to meet her husband. Oh, I met something and so an angel and so on. Anyway, so now in Judges chapter 13, verse 17, and Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, what is thy name? That when the things come to pass, we may do thee honor. Verse 18. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is secret? You see? So what do we learn from there? That was secret. Do you know what it means? It also means wonderful. Yeah, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
It means wonderful, you know? That is the same word used in Isaiah 9:6, right?
Yes.
Where it is written in Isaiah 9:6, going ahead of myself now, because we have to reach Isaiah himself, right?
Yeah.
For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, the same thing that was called Secret, right there, you know? And the Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. I always say, if that's all the scripture you know about God, you will know that Christ is God, right? If that's all the scripture you know, praise the Lord. So right there in the book of Judges, we can bring it out there. Or we go to the book of Ruth, you know. Now, we won't talk much about this one. Ruth reveals the type of our kinsman redeemer. Jesus Christ, our kinsman redeemer. It was, you know, Christ was tied in Boaz. So Christ is our true Boaz, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Let's just read one scripture in the book of Ruth. One day we talked about, many years ago, we preached about Ruth here, the gleaner and so on, you know. But in Ruth 4, verse 8, you know, just to paraphrase for you, therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, you know, buy it for me. So, you know, in tradition of the Jews and so on, you know, so a kinsman is to redeem. You know, he has to be a kinsman, he has to have the means of redeeming, he has to be a kinsman, right? You know the story of that and so on. So there was a kinsman really, apart from both, who could have redeemed Naomi and all that belongs to her, which is the wife of Elimelech and so on and that, you know. But he didn't have the means, you know. But Boaz, the type of Christ, he was both a kinsman and he has all the means, the way to do it, praise God, to redeem. So in verse in Ruth chapter 4 verse 8 verse 9 now, and Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Gilead's and Madian. Those are the sons of Elimelech, right? Those who know the book of Ruth, of the land of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabite, the wife of Nahor, have I also purchased for my wife. Right there, you know, we see that, you know, the Lord Jesus, you know, so he's the only one who can redeem the human race. Neither is there salvation in any other. There is no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved but the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Act 4:12. I don't have that one here. Praise the Lord. So now, you see, now talking about, you know, you say he bought it, right? What is it in Acts 20:28? Talking about the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood, is all being hidden right there, you know, plan of redemption in the book of Ruth, you know. And in 1 Corinthians 6:20, we are told, for ye are bought with a price. I mean, boy, I will buy all this, I will purchase, and so on. We are, you know, bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. So far for the book of Ruth. You know, these are inexhaustible truths, right? We just, by the grace of God, just speak again of this thing to show, at least in every book, that Christ is revealed, hidden, one way or the other. We move on to the book of Samuel. The book of Samuel reveals the sufferings and rejection of David, who became what? A savior and a captain of his followers. And we can quickly see in 1 Samuel 22, verse 1. David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And everyone that was in distress, you know, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him, meaning unto David. And he became a captain over them. See? And there were with him about 400 men. So this is foreshadowing. What is foreshadowing? The Lord Jesus Christ, David's son. See? And David's Lord. He's David's son, in a way. And David's Lord, because he is the root and the offspring of David. Praise the Lord. 22 of Revelation says so. Verse 16. Jesus, he said, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root, the Lord said, and the offspring of David, and the bride, and the morning star. So much you can say, he's the captain of the host, the root of David. And you know, is his Lord and some of that, you know. Move to the kings. Like I said, in some of them we talk more in some, or that we just put a summary in Kings. And before I read the thing in Kings, let's read quickly a text from the book of Kings, chapter 1 Kings 10:1, about the queen of Sheba, right? So now, and in 1 Kings 10:1, and when the queen of Sheba had of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. When the queen of Sheba, in verse 4, and when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom and the house that he had built, Bible says that and the meat on his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendants of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. All those were made of gold, right? You know, as he was climbing to the place, you know, they were made of gold. What is the point now I'm making here? Talking about how this is revealing Christ. So the book of Kings show the glory which should follow. And the greater than Solomon. Amen? Okay. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Greater than Solomon, because we are told in Matthew, the Lord said in Matthew 12, verse 42. Now, they were saying that, here's what the Lord said in Matthew 12, verse 42. The Queen of the South shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. That's why I read it before. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Amen. Yes, the Lord, greater one. No, greater than Solomon is here. Not only that, in that book, it was revealed that it's greater than the temple. The Lord, greater than the temple, greater than Solomon, greater than the temple. Because in the same Matthew 12, you know, about the earlier verse, the Lord was passing through the field, and the children and the people, they were hungry, a corn field, right? And they took corn and they were eating the corn. And but they're always looking for fault, right? Oh, it's Sabbath day, right? How come your disciples are just, you know, doing this on the Sabbath day and so on? Then Lord throw to them, you know, this word in Matthew 12, verse 3. But he said unto them, have you not read what David did when he was a hunger? And they were, and they that were with him, how he entered into the house of God and did eat the shoe bread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priest. Verse 5. Or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath day the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and blaspheming, and they were blameless, right? Now look at verse 6. But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise God. He is the creator of all, right? And don't forget that, talking about the temple, right? The temple is the place. Psalm 39, verse 9. The temple is the place where everyone speaks of God's glory, right? That's Psalm 29, verse 9. The voice of the Lord maketh the hind to calf, and discover the forest, and in his temple does everyone speak of his glory. Greater than Solomon, greater than the temple, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. See, again, these are inexhaustible things, how these things show the Lord Jesus Christ. Just pick one or two of them in going forward. Chronicles reveals Christ as the King's Son, rescued from among the dead, hidden in the house of God, to be manifested in due time, as Jehovah has said. Now, there was a king that reigned in Judah by the name, a king reigned in Judah, and I think Joram was his name. And when he died, his son, by the name of Azariah, took the throne. Azariah has a terrible mother by the name of Athaliah, you know. And he let this woman to dictate things to him as king and so on, wicked man as she was. Now it happened that Jehu was commanded of the Lord, you know, to wipe out all that pertains to Ahab and relate to him. So it was in that cleansing of Jehu that Ahaziah was killed, you know. Now when Ahaziah was killed, her mother Athaliah was mad that her son was killed as king, right? Now, what did she do? Now she took the sword by herself, or whatever, and killed all of the royal seed, you know? And she herself mounted the throne. You know, can you imagine? A woman mounted the throne in Judah. So what happened? But it happened that Ahaziah's sister took the youngest of his son and hid him, you know, so that Ahaziah couldn't get to him to kill him. He was hid for 6 years. And something like that, you know. Even Christ was tapped in this in a way. All I'm reading is in 2 Chronicles 22, what I just paraphrased to you right now. And I'm saying that, so Christ is revealed as the King's Son, right? Rescue from among the dead. That little boy, not rescue. His name was, let's go to 2 Chronicles 23. And in the seventh month, in the seventh year of Jehoiada, a priest set himself and threw the captains of the hundreds into covenant with him. And they went about Judah and gathered the Levites out of the cities of Judah and the chief of the fathers of Israel, and they came to Jerusalem. And verse 3 says, and all the congregation made a covenant with the king in the house of God. And he said unto them, behold, the king's son shall reign as the Lord has said of the sons of David. So that boy that was hidden for 6 years and on the seventh year was now made king. No, his name was Joash. Now was made king. The type of Christ is that, you know. So it's the king's son, right? So that book in Chronicles is showing us that Christ as the king's son, rescued from among the dead, hidden in the house of God, and to be manifested in due time as the Lord has said. So we can see the book of Chronicles. Now Ezra, I'm going to move fast. Ezra speaks of a nail in a sure place. Wow, a nail in a sure place. Ezra 9:8. And now, for a little space, a little grace has been showed from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape, and to give us a nail in His holy place, that our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage. He said, "That nail is talking about, Eliakim. Eliakim that Isaiah wrote about in Isaiah 22, which typified Christ. So that nail, you talk about here, is talking and use, of Eliakim that Isaiah wrote about, who typified Christ in Isaiah 22, verse 20, and I read, and it shall come to pass in that day that I will call my servant Eliakim, the son of Ilkiah, he says here. And I will clothe him with thy robe, and strengthen him with thy girdle, and I will commit thy government into his hand, and he shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Now 32. And the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder, so he shall open and no one shall shut, and he shall shut and no one shall open. So talking of Eliakim, a type of Christ, right? I'm going to see that now. 23. And I will fasten him as a nail in a sure place. The same thing I read to you before, right? I will fasten him as a nail in a sure place, and he shall be for a glorious throne to his father's house. What do we see in Revelation 3? What do we read about Christ in Revelation 3? We read in verse 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write, this sincere, he that is holy, he that is true, he that had the key of David, that Eliakim was starting Christ right there, that was mentioned in there in that book, as well as you know. Key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. Can you see how they are all interwoven, all revealing Christ, like that, you know, in every chapter, and in every book of the Bible? So there, that's why I go to Nehemiah right now. Nehemiah tells of the bread from heaven and water out of the rock. This is a repetition of what we have read in Deuteronomy, where it says, speak to the rock, you know, and we spent a lot of time that last week or that rock was Christ. In 1 Corinthians 10:4, say that, as that, you know. So anyway, in Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 5, quickly read it one, we have seen it before. Then the Levites said, stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever. And blessed be thy glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. And gave them bread from heaven for their hunger, and brought forth water from them out of the rock for their thirst, and promised them that they should go into possess the land which thou hast sworn to give them. Thou, verse 20 says, thou gavest also thy good spirit to instruct them, and withheldest not thy manna from their mouth, and gavest them water to their thirst. So last week we spent a lot of time talking about the rock, how water came out of there, and that rock was Christ in 1 Corinthians 10:4. So we just go on like that. You know, in the book of Esther, the Lord's name was hidden there somewhere. If not to read it properly, you know. Book of Esther sees the seed preserved, you know. Haman was to destroy all the Jews at that time, right? He made it, he almost succeeded, right? But at the end, you know, the thing turned against him, right? The gallows that he made, he was hung in that gallows himself. Anyway, book of Esther sees the seed preserved, you know, which should, in the fullness of time, be born in the world. The name of the Lord is hid in that book somewhere, you know. His name is there, though concealed, but his will and power are manifested in defeating all enemies in spite of the unalterable law of the Medes and the Persians. The king signed whatever. He could not stop God. I mean, the Jews are preserved. Anyway, praise the Lord. So that's the book of Esther right there. That's how we can say, but that's right now to be that time. Job, of course, I revealed Christ. One, as this man, that is in Job, not as a theory, that's what he said. Neither is there any this man between us that might lay his hand upon us both. Now, that's what this man means, a mediator. See? I'm talking of a mediator right there, you know. So anyway, so now, number two. Job revealed the Lord as a redeemer. Right there in the book of Job, the oldest book in the Bible, really, you know. As a redeemer, coming again to the earth. That is in Job 19:25. For I know that my redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Talking about the coming of Christ, right? And though after my skin won't destroy this body, Job said, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Verse 27. Whom I shall see for myself, and my eye shall behold, and not another. Though my reign be consumed within me. Talking of the resurrection by the Lord Jesus Christ and so on, that in itself is related. I will not be surprised that at the, in Matthew 27, when the Lord, Bible says, after his resurrection, many of the saints rose from the dead, right? After his resurrection. And they were seeing the city of Jerusalem, right? I won't be surprised if Job was among them, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The Bible didn't say, well, I won't be surprised. Say, I will see God. He's my redeemer and so on, you know. One may have eaten him and so doesn't matter, you know. He said, I will see my redeemer. Praise God. Hallelujah. Job, the oldest book in the Bible talking of the redeemer, Jesus Christ. To him, there all the prophets witness. Not every one of them. No, praise the Lord. Now, how about the book of Psalms, you know? The Psalms are full of Christ everywhere. Praise the Lord. So just pick a few of them, you know. Now, in Psalm 32, we see...
It's from the beginning to the end.
Yeah, that's right. So in Psalm 22, all of that chapter, we see his humiliation, suffering, and death. In Psalm 16, we see his resurrection right there, you know. In Psalm 45, we see his anointing as prophet, with great seed leaves. We saw it there. Now, let's look at Psalm 110, verse 4. Prophecy of his priesthood. Now, and we're going to confirm that in the New Testament, right? So, in Psalm 110, verse 4. The Lord has sworn, and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Just in case people are thinking, is he talking about and things like that, you know? So, let's go to the New Testament and confirm the same thing. In Hebrews 5:6, as he has said also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. You know, that book of Hebrew talking about Christ, right? All of that book about his priesthood, right? He now tells you that that David prophecy is talking about Christ. That's in the, you know, he's talking about Christ. Now, in Hebrews 7:17, we read, "For he testified, thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek." See, referring to the book of Psalms, which David, by divine inspiration, wrote. In Hebrews 6:18, "That by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge, to lay hold upon the hope set before us." Verse 19 says, "Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that which within the veil." Verse 20 says, "Whether the forerunner is for us entered." Who is that? Even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So that's Psalm 110, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
The Bible makes it so plain. You know, it's all one book by the same one author. Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
In Psalm 2, of course, portrays Christ as King enthroned over all. Now, let me read verse 1 to you, a few verses in Psalm 2. Verse 1 says, "Why do the hidden rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the heart set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, Let us break their bonds asunder and cast away their cord from us." Just in case you are wondering, who of whom does he is he talking about? The New Testament tells us that talking about Christ right there. Let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 4. How they refer to that prophecy again. Now this is Christ, right? In Acts chapter 4, you know, the persecution that arose for the healing of the man at the beautiful gate. And they were persecuted and so on, and they were praying. Here is what they said in their prayers in Acts 4:24. "And when they heard that," you know, "they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which made heaven and earth, and the sea, and all that therein is, who by the mouth of thy servant David," the psalm I just read now, you know, "has said, Why did the hidden rage," the same thing, you know, they refer to that psalm, they're talking about Christ, "and the people imagine vain things. The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For a truth, against thy holy child, Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, hath Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done." Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So you see, on all the prophets, the bear witness of the Lord Jesus Christ, all of them. Of course, and 103 and 145 depicted Christ's kingdom established in the earth. We leave it out there, you know. Proverbs, did you talk about Christ? Yes. It reveals Christ, number one, as the wisdom of God. The whole of Psalm 8 was about wisdom, right? Wisdom said that when the creation was taking place, I was with God, you see? You know? And what is that wisdom? So that's the whole of Psalm 8, talking about wisdom. And then we are told in 1 Corinthians 1:24, "But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God, Christ the wisdom of God," amen? All that wisdom of God is Christ. Christ is the wisdom of God. Praise the Lord. We are in the book of Proverbs right here. Also, the book of Proverbs talks about Christ as the path and light of his people. That's in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18. "But the path of the just is as the shining light." As you read this thing, you can see yourself in all of these things. Amen. You are the just. The Lord justifies you. And, you know, praise the Lord. So, I mean, just drink it all in as we read through these things and stuff like that, you know. Now, okay, so I'm reading from Proverbs 4:18. "But the path of the just is as the shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day." Also, the book of Proverbs tells us that the Lord is a surety who smarted for his people while strangers. That is in Proverbs 11:15. I read that. "He that is a surety for a stranger shall smart for it, and he that hated, sure teaching is sure. In plain language, that means if you are shooting for a stranger, you are a fool. You risk your life. If I should, you know, don't go and undertake for a stranger, you know. I mean, for a stranger and so on, that, you know. Those who don't do that, they are wise. They are safe, right? That's the plain language of that thing. But Christ, look at what he did for us, you know. Now, let's see. Now, we are strangers, alien to the commonwealth of Israel, you know. But he died for us and the world. That's why we see in Ephesians 2:12. Talking about strangers, right? That is a surety for a stranger, right? You know, and so on. Don't vow for a stranger, you know. Anyway, in Ephesians 2:12, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and even strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope, and without God in this world. So you see the idea? That was stranger and so on. You know, in a way, Solomon kind of couches, the Holy Ghost kind of couches in there, typing Christ in there, you know. So don't be a shorty for a stranger, and but Christ did everything for us. In 1 Peter 2:11, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers, you know, and pilgrims. We are pilgrims here, friend. Amen. We are looking for a city whose maker and builder is God. Amen. That has foundation. Praise God. It's just a passing. We're just passing by here. Praise the Lord God. We don't have, we don't have continuing city in this place. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Anyway, as strangers and pilgrims abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Again, in Romans chapter 5, verse 18, what the Lord did for us, verse 8, but God commanded his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, you see, you are strangers, we are strangers and so on, when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, you know. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, see that, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So we see right there, we were strangers to the covenant of Israel, and nobody, no wise man, when God in all his wisdom, he did all this for us. Now, one more thing about the book of Proverbs is this. He talked about the Christ in a way, the strong tower. Say the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Proverbs 18:10. You know, into which the righteous run and they are saved. Praise the Lord. Yeah, I'm talking about Christ. I don't know if you know that tower, but Christ. Praise God. Run into it and we are saved. Another thing about Proverbs is it typifies Christ for us in a way. The friend who loves at all times. Proverbs 17:17. The friend who loves at all times. And the brother born for adversity. See, typing Christ all over the place. Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. What did he say? You are my friends, amen. If you keep my word, praise the Lord. It will go to every length for us. No matter what. What you know, what shall he, it will not withhold anything good from that walk uprightly. Praise the Lord. So all that the Holy Ghost catch all those things in Proverbs. So that's for us, and so that you know. Let's move on. Ecclesiastics. I can use just one language for that. Tens of Christ as the one among a thousand in the midst of all that is vanity and vexation of spirit. That's in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verse 28. I will leave it right there. Tens of Christ as one among a thousand in the midst of all that is vanity and vexation of spirit. 7:28 of Ecclesiastes. We move on to the song. Songs of Solomon, one sentence, reveals him, the Lord Jesus, as the true and faithful shepherd, lover, and bridegroom of the bride. If you read that book very well, you know, who remained constant to him in spite of all the royal grandeur and coercive blandishment of Solomon. So, right there, he revealed Christ in there and something that you know. In that book of Psalms and so on, that you know, it's a beautiful book. That once you read it once in a while, too, or as often as you can. Let's move on to Isaiah so we can finish. Isaiah the prophet, we've touched him one way or the other. Isaiah is full, like the psalm, of the sufferings and the glories of Christ. In fact, it's called one of the messianic prophets, you know, talking in the prophets of the Messiah. Number one, he told us, he revealed Christ, you know, in Isaiah 53, verse 5. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. That was no revealing cry. Also in Isaiah 53 verse 2 to 9, wounded for our transgression, oppressed, afflicted, and brought as a lamb to the slaughter, cut off out of the land of the living. See? Now, he tells us in the same chapter of Isaiah verse 11, of the glory that shall be revealed in Christ, and he said that verse 11, he shall see of the travail of his soul and be satisfied. Talking about Christ now. He reveals to us Christ as he will be his people's light. In Isaiah 60 verse 1, arise, shine, for the light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Praise the Lord. Now, you know what this thing, you know, literally over the years, have even, you know, even that light is upon you, sometimes it's not seen all the time, but God has allowed that light to be seen many times. Upon prophets, upon even, you know, God's children who are faithful and loyal to him. Praise the Lord Jesus. That light is upon you right now. Now, in Matthew 5:16, this thing, let your light so shine before men. See, that's what I'm talking about right now. That as I prophesied about Christ, that he may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Of many other things that I wrote about Christ, he says he is a mighty God, which I've read before in Isaiah 9:6, right? Need not to go there anymore. So we know Isaiah 9:6, but now, mighty God, I'm telling you that to know. And back in Matthew 28, verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power in heaven is given unto me in heaven and in earth, and so that you know. So we can keep on going. So he's a messianic prophet, and so that you know. And, you know, so now, he also taught us that, you know, Christ, our salvation. Isaiah taught us in Isaiah 12, verse 2, talking about Christ. Verse 2 of Isaiah 12, verse 2, behold, God is my salvation and your salvation, as we are here today. I will trust and not be afraid in it. What are you afraid of? You know, I'll be not afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and your strength and my song. It also is become my salvation. So talking and prophesying of Christ being our salvation, verse 3 says, therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. Praise the Lord. Writing this thing 700 and something years before Christ, that this book was written. Now, he told us that the Lord Jesus will be the King who shall reign in righteousness. 32 of Isaiah, verse 1. Behold, a King shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind. See, our Lord Jesus. And a cover from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are then under the shadow of the Almighty until the calamities of this world be overpassed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Harden not the shadow of the Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that you know. So anyway, so moreover, he told us that no, the Lord Jesus Christ is Jehovah's branch. Talk of Jehovah's branch being beautiful and glorious. That's in Isaiah 4:2. And in that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious. And the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. We can keep on going again that we are not enough time. This thing are in the gospel, right? You know, but just in the next one, Jeremiah the prophet tell us many things about the Christ. And reveal to us. First of all, he revealed him as the righteous branch and Jehovah our righteousness. Jeremiah 23, verse 5. Behold, the days come, said the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch. See? And a king shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. Not just in Israel, in the earth. You know, so I can either be a man. See? In the man. Verse 6 says, in his days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. See, Jeremiah prophesied on how many years centuries before the coming of the Lord. Moreover, Jeremiah tied the law, the righteous branch again, and king who shall reign and prosper. In Jeremiah 33:15. In those days again, he said, at that time will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up into David, unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. So far we can stop at Jeremiah. I'm going to Ezekiel the prophet. You know, Ezekiel, you know, going through all the prophets, each of them, they talking, they bear witness of the Lord Jesus. Ezekiel, number one, he says, the Lord, the true shepherd, he said the same thing. Ezekiel 34:23. And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David, he shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. Don't just take just literally the way I say my servant David. It's pointing to Christ, as I will show you and get to the book of Haggai, that he's talking of Jesus, the true David. Amen. So when we go to Haggai, we see that. Yeah, so no. Anyway, now more. He typified Christ as the prince. Ezekiel 37:25. And they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob my servant, wherein your father have dwelt. And they shall dwell there, and they and their children, and their children's children forever. And my servant, again, said David, right, shall be their prince forever. Put your heart on that when we get to Haggai. I believe it's 3:5. When we get there, you will see what we're talking about. In the David, it said David there, but talking about Christ. Anyway, now, moreover, that same book typifies Christ's plan of renown. Ezekiel 34:29. It says, and I will raise up for them a plant of renown. See, talking about Christ. A plant of renown. And they shall be no more consumed with hunger in the land, neither bear the shame of the hidden anymore. Thus shall they know that I, the Lord their God, I am with them, and that they, even the house of Israel, are my people, hear the Lord God. Lastly, one more thing about that he wrote about the law. He called him the Jehovah Shammah. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Lord is here. He's there with you. Anytime we are asked, no, that is in Ezekiel 48:35. Now I have to look at it properly to be able to understand that it was round about 18,000 measures and so on, that, you know. And the name of the city shall be the Lord is there. It means Jehovah Shammah. He's always there with you. Amen. I am with you always, amen, to the end of the world. A truth we should never forget. So when you have that in your heart, the Lord is with you. No matter what you are going through, when that pass through the water, you will not drown, amen. The Lord is there. When that pass through the fire, I will be with you, amen. Praise the Lord, Jehovah Shammah. He is there. Before you get to where you are going, he's already there before you, amen. He is omnipresent. Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. So we see that Daniel spoke so much about the Lord. You know, and revealed so much about him. Let's talk a little about Daniel. First of all, he revealed Christ as the stone, you know, that become the head of the corner. He said it in Daniel 2:34. Thou swearest that a stone was cut out with our hands, which smote the image upon his feet, that were of iron, clay, and and break them into pieces. By now, all of us sitting here by now, we have done so much by God's grace in the book of Daniel, like a daily affair here and so on, that, you know, all the Gentile kingdom are pulled down at the end of the age, and we are there right now, you know, by the kingdom of God. The kingdom of this world become the kingdom of our God and of his Christ. Revelation 11, I believe, 19. Anyway, so we see right there, Christ is stone. Now, of course, let's join many other scriptures together for that scripture about this stone. In Psalm 118:22. Talking about the stone, Jesus Christ our Lord, the stone which the builders refused, is become the head stone of the corner. Isaiah again said in Isaiah 8:14, and it shall be for a sanctuary, both a stone of stumbling and for a rock of offense, to both the houses of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Even Jeremiah still speaking in Jeremiah 28 verse 16 of this stone. Therefore thus said the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone. All about Christ, you know. A tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth on him shall not make haste. That's why in Matthew 21, referring to these ancient prophecies, 21 of Matthew, verse 42, Jesus said unto them, he referred back to the prophets, right? They gave witness about him. He had to go back and forth with them. 21 of Matthew 42, Jesus said unto them, did ye never read in the scripture, the stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. See, verse 44. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. But on whosoever he shall fall, he will grind into powder. You see? So back all the prophets speak about that stone. Daniel stone, as it. David wrote about it. Isaiah wrote about it. Now the prophets wrote about it. And all that, you know? In Acts 4:11, we are told, this is the stone which was set at naught, see, of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Even the apostle refers to it in Acts chapter 4. Even the book of Peter said of the stone in 1 Peter 2:4, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, you know, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded in it. You will not be confounded as a believer in it, as we put unto the word of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So Daniel, begin from Daniel and all the prophets, bear witness, Christ that stone. I don't know that, you know. Now, not only that, Daniel said about the stone, Daniel said more. He talked about the Lord Jesus as the Son of Man. Daniel 7:13. I saw in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man, you see that one, came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and he brought him near before him. Now, he talked about the Messiah the Prince, pointing to Christ, Messiah the Prince. Daniel 9:24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to fill the transgression there are 16 in there, and to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for the for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Now, verse 25. Know therefore, and understand, that for the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince, see, defining to Christ, Messiah the Prince, you know, shall be 7 weeks, and 3 score and 2 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. We have done so much by God's grace, the book of Daniel, the only explanation for to those scriptures right there, but it refers to them, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's move to Hosea, so you can finish this very quickly. Hosea reveals the Lord Jesus as one, as the true David. I was saying Haggai, no, it is in Hosea that he typifies, Christ as the true David. So that's what I was saying before, not Haggai, it's Hosea 3:5, praise the Lord. Now, Hosea reveals the Lord as the true David. In Hosea 3:5, afterward shall the children of Israel return and seek the Lord their God, and David their king, and shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days. Take it properly and let the Holy Ghost reveal to you that he's revealing Christ there as the true David right there, you know, in that scripture, you know. So, and moreover, that same book now, it typifies Christ or refers to him as the son out of Egypt. Don't forget one thing. A scripture can mean and have more than 2 minutes and so on, that, you know, and yet that's this truth. Praise the Lord. Amen. So don't forget that truth, you know. So he said in Hosea 11:1, he typed the Christ as son out of Egypt to Hosea 11:1. When Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. That's true of the children of Israel That is true of Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. No, when Herod raised up and so on, that you know the story about how he wanted to kill all the babies of Israel and so on. They went to Egypt and so on. And when Herod was gone, Christ was called out of Egypt. Joseph, those who see the child's life are dead now. Go back to Palestine. Praise the Lord. That is true. See how you find that also in a way, you know. Go to the book of Joel as we move to this book quickly. Joel reveals him as God dwelling in Zion. That's how he defines Christ in his book. That is in Joel 3:16. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion. Say the version out of Zion. And utter his voice from Jerusalem. And the heavens and the earth shall shake. But the Lord will be the hope of his people. Amen. And the strength of the chain of Israel. See? So shall ye know that I am the Lord your God dwelling in Zion. See? My holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall no stranger pass through any more. So shall we say by the book of Joel, you know. So there's a lot of trouble ahead for Israel, you know. And so but thank God for the Gentile bride going up very soon. We don't know the day or the hour. The time of Jacob's trouble is not far off, you know. The event in the world today is pointing to that. It's the center of attraction again. Israel, at the end of time, prophecy will be in the news all the time, right? Roman Catholic and all this will be in the news. Are they not in the news every day? You know, the prophecy says we are in the latter time. Anyway, book of Amos told of the Lord Jesus as the raiser of David's tabernacle, the prophesy of Christ. Amos did, you know, in Amos 9:11. In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is falling down, and close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up its ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old. We know in the Council of Jerusalem in Acts 15, when some Jewish Christians thinking that we Gentile Christians should live like they lived in the days of Moses, like by the law of Moses, they themselves are not living by the law of Moses. They want to make the Gentile Christians live like the law of Moses. Then Paul and the other brother said, no, it can't be so, you know. I know the law inside out. Paul told them, you know, I know Christ, you know. So you come to Jesus and come and ask the elders. This is true. They are to refer to this prophecy of Amos in Acts 15:13. And after they had heard their appeal, they were in the council and so on, debating this thing. Should the Gentiles be living like the Jews and so on? So anyway, James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon, meaning Peter, had declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles in the house of Cornelius to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree, now I'll go back to the prophet, right? And to this agree the word of the prophet, as it is written, quoting this promise from Amos. After this I will return, and I will build up the tabernacle of David, which is falling down, quoting the book of Amos, right? It's just read to you. And I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up. That the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles too, upon whom my name is called, said the Lord, who dreads all these things, the Bible says. Now, Obadiah, very quickly, one line or two on that. Obadiah reveals him as deliverer on Mount Zion. That's why in Obadiah 1 chapter verse 17, but upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the heart of Jacob shall possess their possession. So the Lord is our deliverer, right? So from Mount Zion, so Obadiah revealed him right there. Jonah, of course, revealed Christ in so many ways. As his salvation, you know, after he has gone through, he went into trouble, he taught us a great lesson. When you sit down and buffeting, you are in trouble and so on. Yeah, prayer is good. Praise. We also bring great deliverances, amen. Praise the Lord in the belly of the way. Anyway, he showed the Lord as his salvation in Jonah 2:9. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. He says, salvation is of the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. Do you know what I mean? Salvation is of the Lord. So anyway, another thing that he showed. He depicts the sign of Christ. All the events around Jonah they take a very, very important truth, the resurrection and the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Now, how do we know that? That is, of course, you know what happened to him and so on. In Matthew 12, the Lord told the people this, 38. They were saying, show us a sign and so on. Then certain of the Jews, of the scribes, and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we will see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given them to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. Jonah wrote about me, he said, praise God. In a way, you know, all the prophets, they bear witness. But for as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in his waste belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here. Amen. Praise the Lord. Like you saw about the book of about Solomon. So we see. Let's go to about the Micah. I'm running Micah. No, call him the breaker. A breaker, the king, and the Lord, and many more. So it says in Micah 2:13, the breaker is come all before them. They have broken up and not passed through the gate, and they are gone out by it, and their king shall pass before them, and the Lord on the head of them. Even more importantly, you know, the prophecy of the coming of Christ, exactly where Christ will be born. Amen. So they all read about me, they all bore witness about him. He told us who Christ is and where he will be born. Micah 5:2. But thou, Bethlehem of Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he comfort unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been of old from everlasting. That's what we're talking about. Okay. Having no beginning of being or the end of life. You know, that's your test us. No human being qualified for that. Praise the Lord. No, whose good has been from everlasting and from the time of old. Micah prophesied the coming of the Lord, of the Messiah, exactly where he will be born. See? So, praise the Lord. Now, Nahum, what did he say about Christ? Nahum says, he's a stronghold in trouble. So, that's good for me, good for you today, good for all eternity. Nahum 1:7, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. Praise the Lord. So, I mean, again, we cannot go through all they say about Christ, but they all say something about Christ, one way or the other, running to the end. Habakkuk typify Christ, joy and confidence. The Lord, joy and confidence. Habakkuk 3:17. No matter what happens, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall ye no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Verse 18, yes, I will rejoice in the Lord, I will joy in the God of my salvation. Praise the Lord. Meaning the Lord will always provide for his people, amen? No matter what happened, praise God. You know, whether in the time of Elijah, there was a drought for 3.5 years, supernatural provision, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever, said the Lord, amen? We should keep our eye on the Lord. You know, our economy is not tied to man's economy, it's tied to the word and promises of God. Praise the Lord. So he was able to rejoice, no matter what is going on in India. Zephaniah typified God, the Lord, the mighty God, in the midst of Zion. Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee, he is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. Amen. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. You know, I think he said the 270 out by 2. I think it's Luke. I don't know. And when they come back, oh Lord, the devils were subject to us in your name. Because you don't rejoice because of that only, that your name is written in heaven, right? Bible says, rejoice over them, amen. God, the Lord is rejoicing over you. Praise the Lord. All that's written about Christ, the final road, that's about Christ and so on, and his people. Haggai, in one or two lines, so we can run out here. Haggai, typify Christ, the desire of all nations. Now what he says, Haggai 2:7. And I will shake all nations, the Lord said, and the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, said the Lord of hosts. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's what Guy with him talking about Christ right there. Zechariah, of course, wrote so much about the Lord. And he talked about the Lord as a smitten shepherd. See? The man, we call him the man, Jehovah's fellow. So we see in Zechariah 13:7, he said, awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, said the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. And I will turn my hand upon the little worm. In case anybody is doubting whom he's talking about there, what said the Lord Jesus Christ in Mark 14:27? I mean, referring to that prophecy. In Mark 14:27, and Jesus said unto them, oh, ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. Quoting Zechariah, praise the Lord. So, all the prophets, they bear witness of him. They give witness of the Lord Jesus. That is referred to Zechariah. And it happened exactly like that. They were scattered, actually, you know, just as the prophecy said. Now, it was Jehovah's servant, in that Jehovah's servant, the branch. That's in Zechariah 2:3-8. Hear now, O Joshua, the high priest, thou and our fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at, for behold, I will bring forth my servant the branch. See? Talking about Christ. Now, was the man whose name is the branch, Zechariah 6:12. And speak unto him, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, behold, the man whose name is the branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. The millennial temple will be by the Lord himself, amen. Praise the Lord. Wow. I was talking about there. He goes to the millennium. See, there coming a tribulation temple. It can come up anytime from today. They got everything ready right now. Revelation 11. That is almost ready. Can go up anywhere in any time. But the millennial temple shall be built by the Lord himself according to this scripture, you know. And it's all prophesied ahead of time. Now, let's get to the last book now. That's Malachi, the last one. So let's see what it says here about the Lord. Listen. He refers to the Lord as the messenger of the covenant. In Malachi 3:1, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord, talking about the Lord Jesus, whom you seek, shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, said the Lord of hosts. Also, he typified Christ as the refiner of the sons of Levi, in Malachi 3:3. And he shall sit as a refiner, and purify of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. He revealed Christ as the son of righteousness in Malachi 4:2. That is what he says. But unto you that fear my name shall the son of righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stock, and ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be as arches under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, said the Lord of hosts. Amen. Praise the Lord. This is an exhaustible subject, but Brother Paul preached about it better all day from morning to evening, you know. And it just really show us what that the Word of God has one great subject. This whole Bible has one great subject. What is that subject? That one great subject is the all-pervading subject, that the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the subject of the whole Bible. And all else stands in relation to him. He is the main subject. Other things are just in relation to him. I think that you know. We are saying the Bible. So hold this Bible. All that you need is in there. You know. He says his word. Whether it is healing, he says his word and he healed them. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, salvation, you know, by the word of God. We're not saved by the corruptible things, but by the incorruptible word of God, amen. Praise the Lord. Everything is by the word of God. You know, so let us trust every promise in there. And so Lord, we thank you this morning. There's no way we can really, exhaust all these things, Lord. But we have enough. You know, from the Holy Spirit, Lord, oh God, to give us confidence, Lord God. Oh, wherein you have told us, heaven and earth shall pass away, but your word will not pass away. He that said, he said, if I go away, I will come again. I'll receive you unto myself, that where I am, that you may be also, that won't pass away too. One of these days, this shall take place for the first fruit rapture. So help us to keep our eyes on you, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Lord, having faith in this word, whatever we need, we can go and find a promise for it in this Bible. There's nothing we are going to need in this world, that there is a promise in the Bible. Help us, O Lord, not to be idle or to be spiritually lazy. By which it is the honor of it is the glory of God to hide a thing, the honor of king to search out a matter. See how the scripture, the Bible says, help us to search therein to see, O God, the promise for what we need. And it is our for the claiming. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you for your promise to supply all our needs. Your promise will guide us continually. You told us. You know, that's the wonderful promise in Isaiah 58. That will guide you continually. Lord, what a promise, Lord, oh God. Bible says, Lord God, who forgive us all our iniquities. We are dead unto sins. We are alive unto righteousness. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, we worship and adore you, Lord. Bible says, Lord, Christ has redeemed us from the court of the law, being made a curse for us, that the blessing of Abraham now is out through our faith in the Lord Jesus. As we go this morning, Lord, I'm meditating upon all these things, Lord, O God, the Holy Ghost, bring them into our remembrance. Then shall the Lord supply all our needs, both for the spirit man, the soul, and the body. Lord, making us, we are complete in Christ, who is the head of all principality and power. So we thank you this morning for our time in thy presence, Lord. We don't even come close to what Paul did all morning from morning till night, but it's okay, Lord. We just thank you. This generation has imposed upon the people of God a kind of bond that, Lord God, but in the name of the Lord Jesus. And Abraham's seed is groaning now under this thing that this word has put upon us. But we are going to, the glorious liberty of the children of God is upon us too, in the name of Jesus. The bonds and the imposition shall be destroyed, being destroyed right now. In the bride elect, in the name of the Lord Jesus. For all this, we thank you, Father. Blessed be the name of the Lord. As we go this morning, Lord of God, we set it up before our face. It's with us in so many dimensions. Your angel comes around us, and you have given the angels charge over us to keep us in all our ways. Lord, we thank you for all these things, Lord. As we go, we shall find favor before all men, in the name of Jesus. That is how I say the book of Acts, Lord. Lord, you preserve our goodness and our coming in. You preserve us from all evil, Lord. You bless the work of our hands according to the word of God. So whatsoever we do shall prosper. Lord, we believe God's word, Lord. Blessed is the man that trusted in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. So we thank you this morning for blessing us. Father, in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus.